Bridge to Terabithia. Chapter 1. Jesse Oliver Ahrens, Jr. Baroom, 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 barippity, 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 barippity. Good. His dad had the pickup going. He could get up now. Jess slid out of bed and into his overalls. He didn't worry about a shirt because once he had begun running, he would be hot as popping grease, even if the morning air was chill. Or shoes, because the bottoms of his feet were by now as tough as his worn-out sneakers. "Where are you going, Jess?" Maybelle lifted herself up sleepily from the double bed where she and Joyce Ann slept. "Shh," he warned. The walls were thin. Mama would be mad as flies in a fruit jar if they woke her up at this time of day. He patted Maybelle's hair and yanked the twisted sheet up to her small chin. "Just over the cow field," he whispered. Maybelle smiled and snuggled down under the sheet. "Gonna run? Maybe." Of course he was going to run. He'd gotten up early every day all summer to run. He figured if he worked at it, and Lord had he worked, he would be the fastest runner in the fifth grade when school opened up. He had to be the fastest. Not one of the fastest or next to the fastest, but the fastest. The very best. He tiptoed out of the house. The place was so rattly that it screeched whenever you put your foot down. But Jess had found that if you tiptoed, it gave only a low moan, and he could usually get outdoors without waking Mama or Ellie or Brenda or Joyce Ann. Maybelle was another matter. She was going on 7 and she worshipped him, which was okay sometimes. When you were the only boy smashed between 4 sisters and the older 2 despised you ever since you stopped letting them dress you up and wheel you round in their rusty old doll carriage. And the littlest one cried if you looked at her cross-eyed. It was nice to have somebody who worshipped you, even if it got unhandy sometimes. He began to trot across the yard. His breath was coming out in little puffs, cold for August. But it was early yet. By noontime, when his mum would have him out working, it would be hot enough. Miss Bessie stared at him sleepily as he climbed across the scrap heap, over the fence and into the cow field. "Moo," she said, looking for all the world like another Maybelle with her big, brown, droopy eyes. "Hey, Miss Bessie," Jess said soothingly. "Just go back to sleep." Miss Bessie strolled over to a greenish patch. Most of the field was brown and dry and yanked up a mouthful. "That's a girl. Just eat your breakfast. Don't pay me no mind." He always started at the northwest corner of the field, crouched over like the runners he'd seen on Wide World of Sports. "Bang," he said, and took off flying around the cow field. Miss Bessie strolled towards the centre, still following him with droopy eyes, chewing slowly. She didn't look very smart, even for a cow, but she was plenty smart enough to get out of Jesse's way. His straw-colour hair flapped against his forehead and his arms and legs flew out every which way. He'd never learned to run properly, but he was long-legged for a 10-year-old, and no one had more grip than he. Lark Creek Elementary was short on everything, especially athletic equipment, so all the balls went to the upper grades at recess time after lunch. Even if a fifth grader started out the period with a ball, it was sure to be in the hands of a sixth or seventh grader before the hour was half over. The older boys always took the dry centre of the upper field for their ball games, while the girls claimed the small top section for hopscotch and jump rope and hanging around talking. So the lower grade boys had started this running thing. They would all line up on the far side of the lower field, where it was either muddy or deepy crusty roots. Earl Watson, who was no good at running but had a big mouth, would yell, "Bang!" and they'd race to a line they'd tiptoed at the other end.